The president was greeted by veteran Soviet ambassador
to offer condolences on the death of Leonid Brezhnev.
The operation is what's crucial, because what we do is for the good of the many. Don't let your conscience get us killed.
If you tell her now, it will all blow up.
But at least she'll know who she is.
Every move you make.
Jamie, we're here to do The Americans, The Rat, 406.
That's right.
On West Coast Project.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to ask you, Jamie, what you thought of this episode.
I loved it. I loved it. I thought it was I think this is the best episode of the series since the pilot.
I don't know if I thought that. I was actually rooting for them to catch Martha. Because pursuing Martha makes the plot actually move forward on that topic.
It's fantastic, but I think Martha is as dead as a doornail.
Martha has no value to the KGB or to the FBI for that matter. Only liability to Clark.
Yeah, liability. But Clark just keeps on. I mean, that guy. Okay, I win another time because I told you he loves her. He loves her.
Well, he's still.
There's no way he would go off the rails like what he did if he didn't love her. He told her, he exposed himself to her. And he didn't even tell Elizabeth. I assumed that she knew. But she didn't know. I mean, that means he's got secrets with Martha. That's like intimate.
Well, yeah, he's got lots of secrets.
With somebody who's not his wife.
Do you think Philip is in danger of being treasonous with the USSR?
Absolutely. He told her who he is.
He got some nasty glares from both Elizabeth and Gabriel in this episode.
He got more than a nasty glare from Gabriel. And Elizabeth could kill him. I told you that jealousy, man. We had it pegged the wrong way. We were thinking Martha would be, you know, upset if she found out that that Philip was married to Elizabeth. But what's going to happen is Elizabeth is going to lose her blank because she's realizing that Philip is married to Martha.
Yeah, I already knew that. I knew that when she laid down the sex boundaries with him last episode. She was claiming ownership of him.
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that she's going to realize that she has some serious competition if she hasn't lost.
Well, that's what I think. That's what I mean. She knows when Clark made love to her as Philip, made love to Martha as Philip with the hairpiece off, then that was bad for Elizabeth because that's Philip doing it and not Clark.
That wasn't last episode, though.
I know, but she realized it this episode.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying she's going to lose her freaking mind because then that was some serious tension in the kitchen. When she came in, all the stuff she realized in those just maybe, you know, like minute and a half, that was a lot for her to process.
Well, it starts out, Jamie, with Philip and Elizabeth in bed, right, continuation of the end of the last episode.
Uh-huh.
And Elizabeth is saying nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. There's a lot of false reassurances in this episode. A lot of everything will be all right, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Then we see Martha getting up in the morning in her two-hour routine with her makeup and pills.
Yeah.
Although I don't think she takes 2 hours. She puts the gun in the purse as she walks out. Now, I thought that gun was going to be used in this episode when I saw that.
Oh, so did I.
The world does not need an unhappy Martha. She's liable to do anything.
She is.
Somebody cuts her off in the crosswalk. Bam.
last year you called Martha a loose cannon rolling freely on the deck of the show. And here we go. I mean, because that's what she is this season.
Well, she's a loose lady revolver, whatever they call that little gun she has. Now we get the credits, Jamie Nod. Did you realize the credits are different, a little different every time?
No.
Well, they were different this time. That I remembered them being from the last time. I think that means they may have been different every time. I just didn't notice.
Well, then I'm going to go back and watch all of them.
Stan and Adderholt are discussing Martha's background. She had a lover that dumped her.
Her high school sweetheart.
And she had a pregnancy and an abortion because of that.
Back in the days when it was dangerous and illegal.
Then Stan asked Adderholt, is Martha attractive? I don't know why he needs to know this. Maybe to confirm some of his own feelings. But Adderholt says, yeah, you know, there's something sexy about her. Not really a kind of a left-handed compliment. Not a, oh, yeah, she's hot.
Right.
He has to dig deep to find the compliment. And then Stan remembers Amador. And if you remember Amador, he was the character that looked a lot like Adderholt.
That's what you say. He doesn't look like Adderholt, but the actor, his name is Maximiliano Hernandez. And I do remember him because I like his face. And also because the way he died, and that's what they were talking about. Stan and Adderholt were talking about the way that Chris Amador died and connecting it to the fact that he dated Martha.
Yeah, I think he looks like Adderholt. He's got his head shaved, he got bald head, but he's kind of short and stocky like Adderholt. I don't know. I think I find him similar in looks to Adderholt.
Okay.
And Stan and Adderholt talk about how she has a new boyfriend who she can never bring around.
Yeah, married boyfriend who's conveniently married with kids, and that's why she can't be seen.
They smirkingly say that convenient new boyfriend that she can't bring around, like they know it's a cover up for something.
That's right.
All right, so Philip and William now talk, and I didn't look this up. I should have, Jamie, because I'm going to stumble over this. But Philip says, we need another glander sample. It'll make you a hero. And William says, no way. There's no way I can get more of this. But how about some telerinanium, something like that?
Spell that?
Did you catch that word?
I didn't understand it.
Telerinanium. I only wrote it how I thought it sounded. Telerinium.
Okay, hold on a minute.
Which is a new biological agent. By the way, Jamie, we do not want biological agents floating around in our neighborhoods. I'm getting over the worst cold I've had in like 10 years, and it sucks to have a bad infection. Or virus in you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You wake up feeling like crap. You can't sleep. Your head aches. Your body aches. I feel fine now. I just have kind of a stuffy head. But what do you got? What do you got on tularanium?
Okay, so it's tularemia, and it's also known as Pavant Valley Plague. Rabbit fever, deer fly fever, and O'Hara's fever. It's a serious infectious disease caused by the intracellular bacterium Francisella tularensis. And let's see what it causes. Signs and symptoms. Depending on the site of infection, tularemia has six characteristic clinical variants. So it's the incubation period's 14 days. So it includes fever, lethargy, loss of appetite, signs of sepsis, and possibly death. Non-human mammals rarely develop it. Subclinical infections are common. Lymph nodes. So your lymph nodes can enlarge and may suppurate, mimicking bubonic plague.
Yep, that's it. That's what I got. Well, how do you spell that? Tularania?
T-U-L-A-R-E, M as in Mary, I-A. M as in Martha, I-A.
So tularemia.
Yep. And it spreads to multiple organ systems, including the lungs, liver, spleen, and lymphatic system. And mortality untreated before the antibiotic era, patients had been as high as 50%. I'll tell you what I've noticed about the diseases that are supposed to be deadly on the Americans is that they're not as severe as what the show makes them out to be.
Well, that one sounds pretty nasty.
Yeah, but it's not like something that's like a bio, you know, like weapon.
Although William says that they're weaponizing it.
Oh, yeah. He says it's easily weaponized. You're right.
So you're saying they make it sound a lot worse than it really is in real life.
Right. But I'm forgetting that there's another step to that. They take that regular disease and then they do stuff to it to make it worse.
All right. Good times.
Awesome times.
Go back to the FBI office. Stan is eyeing Martha now every time he's kind of looks out of the corner of his eye up at her. They do a quick little cut.
Oh, wait. Maybe we're not at that place yet. I thought you were telling me the part about she called in, but I guess she didn't call in yet?
No, this is the very beginning.
Okay.
This is right after Philip and William. We see the FBI office for just a quick second, maybe 10 seconds. Stan eyes Martha while she's at her. It's kind of the start of their day. Jumps right back to Philip and William. And Philip says, I think Martha's in danger, and I think we should get her out. And he's sharing his feelings now with William. He's bonding with William.
Uh-huh, that's right.
And William kind of guesses, but they don't want to. Our bosses don't know what they're doing. Kind of guesses the problem that Philip is encountering here.
Yep, that's right.
And Philip shares, she trusts me, and William says, that's always a problem. We're going to learn what happened to William's partner here, a little bit more about what happened to his partner, not the complete story.
No, he didn't say, she trusts me, and then he said, it's always a problem. He said, why do you think they're on to her, or something like that, and he said, just a feeling, and he said, always a problem. Then he said, you know, little buggers.
Well, I thought Philip said, she trusts me. Martha trusts me. And William said, that's always a problem. So next.
He did say that, but it was at the end of the conversation. You're right.
Okay. Thanks. You're Clark right. Picks up Martha and says, I think they may know about you. I need to get you off the street, and takes her to a new place. Looked like a new place. I couldn't figure it out, but it looks like a familiar place in a second.
Yep.
Martha says, I'm scared. What am I doing here? And Clark says reassuringly, everything's going to be all right. And then Gabriel walks in. So we realize it's Gabriel's place. Now, Clark's pulling a plan B of his own here, because Gabriel doesn't know he's bringing Martha over.
Wait a minute. You know that's not Gabriel's real place, right?
Well, that's the place where Gabriel's is his meeting place or whatever.
No, that is that safe house or whatever that thing is that they have. That's where Lisa was. Remember Lisa? Married to the guy who drank that crap out of the jar. Remember crazy jar drinker?
Oh, I thought it was a safe house that Gabriel's been there before, I think. Gabriel's met them there before.
I don't remember that, but I know that house. I recognize the house. And I don't remember Gabriel ever meeting them there, but that's, I guess, where he is now, because his place got, you know, all glandered up.
Yeah, he's never going back to that place. So I'm just calling this his place now. So he's there, but he doesn't know. There's no plan of Philip bringing Martha there. He just brings her there.
Right.
And Gabriel just says, go make some tea. The boys are going to talk. He sends Martha off to the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And this is very impulsive by Philip bringing her here. I think he is borderline treasonous with his role within the USSR. I don't know how much this Gabriel will reveal on and tell on Philip, but he's not doing so well. Gabriel says, just have her return to work and act like this never happened. And Philip said, that's your plan? That's your plan for this? And Philip says, yes, we can return to where we were. And Philip says to him, she's seen me. Stop handling me. Martha is done. He admits to Gabriel that she's seen him as Philip, right?
Right.
Which, you know, what's really the big deal about that?
Oh, my God. Okay. So for so many reasons, that's insanity. One of them is emotional because he's really showing her this is no longer an act. This is no longer him, you know, like stringing her along and fooling her and, you know, doing the whole thing because she really sees him for who he is. So he's cheating on Elizabeth. I mean, like that. It's, and I don't know if you'd call it really cheating, you know, but I mean, it's really him. It's really him with her. And never more so than this episode. But I mean, so that's the first problem. The second problem is that she really knows what he looks like. She could identify him.
I know, but if you put a suit on Superman and he's Clark Kent, you still know what he looks like. You know, it's not that the blonde wig is not that big of a deal. And the circumstances around him revealing this, Gabriel should understand. I mean, these are pretty dire circumstances with Martha.
Well, he didn't. I mean, Gabriel didn't. He was just like, what? You know, because he's about the job. He's so much more loyal to the center than.
Yeah, he can block out the personal stuff pretty easily.
Well, I mean, we'll see later how it's not quite that easy.
I just don't think I don't think Philip taking off his wig makes him much more recognizable as Philip than Clark than with the wig on. I don't think the wig's a huge, huge disguise.
Well, it wasn't just a wig, though. I mean, like we saw when he undid like all the crap that he had on, he had on prosthetic pieces of like his nose and stuff and like his hairpiece and, you know, the glasses. And there were just like all these things that he took off.
I think Clark looks like Philip. That's all I'm saying.
I agree with you. With the lighting and stuff being so funky on that episode, I mean, on the series, it's always kind of, you know, dingy and dark and stuff. It's hard to tell that he looks really different. But he did. Like, once he, you know, did his spy striptease where he was, you know, taking off his disguise and stuff, he really did look different from that moment. And, you know, they had like an FBI sketch of Philip, and it didn't really look much like him. No, it didn't.
That sketch didn't look like Philip or Clark.
Yeah, so I think that it's plausible. If you look similar but not exactly like, you know, it gives you at least plausible deniability.
It's not going to matter, because I don't think Martha's going to have any chance to report what Philip looks like to anybody.
I don't think she would, because she loves him.
Well, she might, because something's got to give. She can't love him forever with all the stuff that's happening. She now knows he's a KGB agent, and that shocked her pretty deeply.
Yeah, I can't believe he told her that. I mean, so many times in this episode and in the last, like, at the end of last season, he has told her things he should never say. I mean, I really think that he has committed treason.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see what the USSR hands down to Philip in the long run here. We listen next, Jamie, to a TV laugh track. Martha's watching TV. I didn't catch the show. But she's watching while Gabriel and Philip cook. And holy shit, Elizabeth stops by. The whole team's getting back together. The band's getting back together.
Yeah.
What's Elizabeth's name as the sister?
What's her name?
Jennifer?
Yep, that's it.
She comes by with clothes and a toothbrush for Martha. And Martha looks at her and says, "You're part of all this?" Incredulously. And Jennifer / Elizabeth says, "It's going to be all right. We're here for you." More of that reassurance that don't worry. It's all going to be all right.
Mm-hmm.
And here's where Elizabeth sees Phillips out of disguise. And she looks at him like, "What the hell are you doing?" And he says, "She's already seen me." And that's where she gets kind of crushed by that.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, then he says, "She was falling apart. I had to." And, you know, and all that. It was really crazy because, you know, you start to realize every sentence that Philip says that his feelings are really complicated. This is not just, you know, a target.
Yeah, Philip uses the, well, first of all, Elizabeth, what she says is, "Did you want her to?" Meaning, did you want her to see you? And Philip uses the universal male response, "I didn't know what else to do."
Yeah, but that's a big, big question that Elizabeth asked. Because what she was really asking is, did you want Martha to know who you really are? Because that, like I said, it goes from being a job to being real.
Jamie, we've now reached 100% Martha Watch stage. She can never be let out on her own. That's why what happens later on is so unbelievable in this episode, that they leave her there with Gabriel, who's like still coming out of that funk from his glanders recovery. He can't fight and run and catch her if she slips out the door.
And plus she's like 97.
Huh?
I said, and plus he's like 97.
Well, he's not that old, but...
No, he's not that old.
But yeah, you're right. Elizabeth sees this reveal as a big betrayal to her.
Mm-hmm.
Next, Elizabeth and Paige cook some Korean food. And Paige...
Oh, wait. Before you finish all that, dude, come on. In the kitchen scene, there's so much more. Elizabeth says, "You should have told me you were bringing her in." Because she feels betrayed by that, too. I mean, that's the job. And he's not even telling her, you know, what he's doing at work. And then she takes a drink. She's like, "Give me some wine." And then she says, "It's my shift, so you should probably get back home." And then Philip says, "I think it's better if I stay the night." And then Gabriel's like, "Let me get the hell out." And he's like, "I'll bring that wine to Martha." But what, I mean, just think about that. Think about that, Mike, for a second. I mean, he's telling Elizabeth on her shift, "I'm going to take this shift because I should spend the night with my wife, who's not you."
He didn't say it in those words. And I don't know that he meant it in those words.
Oh, he meant it. I mean, he didn't mean like, "I want to stay here and be with my sweetheart, Martha." He's just trying to protect her. But the feeling that inspires that level of possessiveness over her, because Elizabeth could protect her very well, but he wants to be the one who's there.
Elizabeth may not go to these same extremes to protect her that Philip would.
And
she
maybe
she has the physical abilities to protect her, but she may not decide to protect her.
Okay, so that's the problem. I mean, think about that for a second. Like if you're Elizabeth and you know all that stuff and your husband, Philip, is telling you, "I'm not going to leave Martha with you." That means that no matter what, either he wants to stay there with her because he feels things for her, or he wants to protect her against Elizabeth's wishes. Whatever it is, he wants to stay. He doesn't want to go home.
Yeah, I'm really reflexively pushing back against Philip and Martha. I don't like Philip loving Martha, so I don't want to admit that I think he does love her. I think he wants to protect her. And, you know, maybe I should just open my eyes and say, "Yeah, he loves her. It's pretty clear he loves her." I just don't want to think that. You know, I want him and Elizabeth to work it out and to end up together and happy in the long run.
Well,
I don't think you can love two people like that. I don't think you can. I think you got to have more love for one than the other. And you can't just be 50-50 and now I've got to protect her, but don't worry, I'll be back home tomorrow and love you just as much or more.
So
I still don't know what the math in that equation adds up to.
Well, I think that we are seeing that, you know, even though we thought that his allegiance was really with Elizabeth, I think that even Philip he's not real sure.
Okay, well, Elizabeth puts on a pretty brave face. She goes back home and cooks dinner with Paige, and she's cheerful and happy, and you could hardly tell. She just experienced this tough spot with Philip. They're cooking that Korean food, and Paige says, "Chicken is rubbery. This chicken is rubbery." And Liz says, "It's soy milk." It's the first time Paige has tasted soy.
She says it's tofu made from soy milk.
Right,
and tofu. It's supposed to be healthy.
Yuck. Just yuck.
All right. Okay, so the hard kind of tofu is not good, but the other kind, it's okay.
So what's that stuff called? Dubu gijay?
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know what she said.
Well, that was the Korean dish that Young-hee taught Elizabeth.
That's right.
And Henry asks about Dad. Where's Dad? And let's not keep Epcot. And let's not forget about Epcot. Elizabeth just says he's working and gets a long stare from Paige.
Oh, you know, that stuff, that Korean dish, last episode was when Young-hee made that. It's her name, right? Young-hee?
Mm-hmm.
That was when she made that for Elizabeth. And Noah Emmerich, last episode of the Insider podcast, was talking about it. And he said that anytime they have a dish like that, that somebody cooks on for the show, they bring in special chefs to actually make the dish for the cast and crew. And they had it. And he said it's like really, really good.
Yeah, they hired a special consultant that was a Korean to cook it for them. By the way, Jamie just reminded me, I went and looked back because we were trying to figure out when they did the David Bowie, Freddie Mercury song, Pressure, what the other Dire Straits song was. And it was not Romeo and Juliet. It was some other song that I had actually never heard before.
I hadn't heard it either.
But it was not Romeo and Juliet, which is a really cool song. If you have a chance, you should listen to it.
Okay.
Martha, back with Martha now, she realizes there's only one change of clothes, and she gets the reassuring words from Clark. Don't worry, it won't be long.
Everybody, don't worry, don't worry.
God, how superficial does that sound?
Well, he said you won't be here long or something like that, right?
Well, it won't be long.
Oh, okay.
To what? Till a bullet in your head puts an end to your misery?
I don't know.
Martha says intuitively now, Jennifer's not your sister. You work together. Are you involved with her? So she's jealous of Elizabeth now.
Oh, yeah.
She has that spidey female sense, Jamie, that is stronger than the spidey spy sense even.
Well, I mean, she's starting to get it now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Clark tells her, we work for the KGB.
Yep. And then she...
This is where I started thinking about the gun, Jamie. She had that gun right in her purse. She could start blasting on Philip and her or herself or whoever.
Yeah, I think she was more likely going to kill herself than him. And I think that's why he took that gun.
She doesn't do that, though. She starts sobbing and kissing him. And then she puts the Elizabeth Sutra on him. She does the exact same sex move that Elizabeth did on him.
I know, that's got to be so weird for him, right? Can you imagine?
Oh, it's killer. It's horrible. It'd be so conflicting. Yes. That's why I'm saying you can't love them both.
That's right.
And she says we can run away where no one will find us. Just dream talk. It's like little girl talk.
Yeah.
And then they have sex while Gabriel acts like the good wingman in the other room and sits there and stoically listens.
I thought he was pretty weirded out by that. And I think it really made him feel strange, because that was like the feeling I got from the expressions that he was making, because it woke him up. And I think what probably occurred to him is how really difficult that job must be. Maybe he's forgotten, you know?
Well, if he ever did that job, I don't think you would ever forget it. He may be reminded of it, specifically of it, but I don't know.
I'm saying, like, he maybe forgot how difficult it is.
You know? That's what I'm saying. If he had ever had to do the job, if he had the same role Philip had when he was younger, I don't think he would ever forget that.
I mean,
in this instance, he's made aware of how hard this is on Philip by all this, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, that to me, that's what I took from the scene. It seemed to me that he was like, oh, holy crap, because when he recognized the sounds, you know, he just kind of shook his head like, man.
I actually don't think he's that worried about Philip. He's more worried about the caper they're in and how it's likely to fail because of Philip's fondness for Martha.
Yeah, I think he's realizing what a mess this whole thing is.
It is a mess. It's a mess.
And Philip has created this. He's gone off the freaking rails, man. I mean, you don't do the stuff that he's done. And, you know, and it's really great, actually, if you think about the way the writers have set it up. Because we cannot only attribute that to Philip's will, you know, as though he's just deciding this stuff from a position of balance and strength. Philip has been through the ringer. He is not at his best. He's pretty broken. He's seeking out help wherever he can, you know, even Est, you know, and so it makes sense that he may be unbalanced. You know, he may be, you know, suffering some sort of psychological trauma, you know, that's making him behave in a way that's very risky. But, you know, whatever it is, it's irreparable. So,
well, but somehow in the Russian spy playbook, they have to have an equation for the fact that the players are human and they have human weakness and they're not robots. So they have to have a contingency for the fact that the human can only take so much and every human's going to be a little different. But after a certain point, this is likely to happen. People will break down and act weak. Their weaknesses will be exposed. They're not going to just act like a perfectly refined machine. They have to think about that. They had to have thought about that before these things happen.
Maybe.
All right, well, at the FBI office in the next morning, we find out Martha's called in sick and Adderholt and Stan are suspicious. Adderholt calls her answering machine, calls her and gets the answering machine. Even more suspicious. So back to Gabriel's in the morning, we hear Philip say, "We'll find a good place." And Martha, again, kind of dreamily, "If the person watching me thinks he was mistaken, we could go right back to the way things were, right?"
Mm-hmm.
Just unrealistic. And Philip just says, and then she says, "I'm never going home, am I?" She finally realizes, dawns on her, that this has reached a point of where it cannot go back to wherever it was.
Right. Yep.
Now Stan and Adderholt get into Martha's apartment, and Stan does a quick search and discovers the missing gun. Or discovers the gun missing. I think that's what he does when he goes in that back room for a minute. He discovers something. He goes in there real quick. We don't see what he does, but he comes out in like 15 seconds.
Uh-huh.
So he knows somebody's got that gun. I think. Do you think anything else? What do you think he was doing in that room?
Oh, I think he was checking to see, you know, if the gun was there. I think he was probably checking to see if there were any signs of Martha being there, you know, maybe looking for a body. I don't know.
He does it so quickly that it seemed like he was doing one thing and one thing only. He's looking for one thing, and he found it wasn't there.
Well, maybe he swiped that Kama Sutra.
Maybe, but I thought they already took that. No, I guess not. He left it.
Yeah.
All right, back at Gabriel's. Gabriel says, "I got the emergency signal from William." And this is where I think the plot kind of unravels a little bit, Jamie. Philip says it's not a good time for me to leave, and it is not a good time for him to leave and be just kind of a second or third bodyguard on this thing with William.
Right.
He was much more valuable there at Gabriel's, holding Martha down, or keeping her pacified at least until they figure out what to do, than to leave her alone with Gabriel.
That was stupid. It was really stupid.
So Gabriel says if we're attacked with a nuclear first strike, we'll have nothing to defend ourselves with. So we really need this stuff that William's working on. Scary thought there that they kind of give up the fact that they may get hit with a nuclear strike first, not be able to nuclear strike back, and then they'd have to use bio germs to keep whatever they can keep going as the fight, you know, to keep the fight alive.
Yeah.
Pretty scary.
Yes, it is.
Phil prepares to leave and do this little duty to help William and looks in Martha's purse and finds the pills and the gun.
Yep.
Now, interestingly, he takes her last chance away to defend herself.
Well, yeah, but he was taking it because he feared that she would use that gun on herself because, you know, when he checked her bottle of Valium pills, you know, he was shaking it to see how many were in there because he figured she had taken too many because he couldn't wake her up.
I know. I just thought it was interesting that right on the heels, right this very next scene after Gabriel says, if we're attacked with a nuclear first strike, we'll have nothing to defend ourselves with. He takes the gun away and he essentially takes away her last chance to defend herself.
I got you. Well, I'll tell you what, that's like I was thinking, you know, like I didn't think it was really going to happen, but I had this vision, like when he was doing that, like of a horror movie where somebody's coming in to shoot her and she grabs her purse and she's like looking for the gun and she can't find the gun and then they just like shoot her.
Yeah, but we're going to see what happens. We see that isn't the case because she finds later on that the gun's missing. All right, Stan and Ederholt now continue searching, I think now at Philip's apartment. Quick scene there, and then we go to Oleg and Tatiana, and I think there. Did you catch this conversation? I think it was a conversation about getting Martha into Russia.
Yes, that's right. They were saying they were going to exfiltrate her, and so Arkady comes in. He says we have to exfiltrate someone, and then Tatiana says who. And Arkady's like, it's an American. She's an American. She lives here in D.C. She works for the FBI, I think, is what he said. Then there's not too much more to that scene, I don't think.
Now, what the hell is Martha going to do when she gets to Moscow?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think they're going to exfiltrate her.
I know, but the plan at this point is to do that. So what do they think she's going to do?
I don't know.
Crazy. Yes. Jamie, it made me realize we very rarely see Arkady and Oleg's team interact with Philip, Elizabeth, and Gabriel's team, even though they're on the same team. We never see those guys kind of working together, even though they're all the same side.
We have never seen them together. We have never seen those people together. And that, I was like, oh, dude, they're going to start mixing now. They're actually going to be in the same room.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because I don't know if they even know each other.
Right, they may have never met.
Yep.
All right, go back to the FBI office. We learn that the fingerprints from apartment 2 show that Clark Westerfield is an 85-year-old gun salesman living in Haley, Idaho. Either that or a lawyer in Atlanta.
Right.
And Stan and Ederholt compare notes out in the hallway. And one of them says, Martha said her boyfriend is a businessman, right? And Stan goes to Gad and says, we need to talk. And they go into the Roxanne secret silent room.
Well, actually, Stan says to Ederholt, she said her boyfriend was a businessman or lawyer's businessman. And so I guess he's thinking about that Clark Westerfeld in Atlanta, right? Because the one in Atlanta is a lawyer, right?
Yeah, because they know he's not the 85-year-old gun salesman.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes, he's an attorney in Atlanta. Okay.
So Stan says here, I think Martha's bad.
Yeah.
Gad says, what do you have? And then Stan and Adderhold share the details about Clark. And Gad just kind of looks shocked. He sits there and says, Martha's worked here over 10 years. That's crazy. She worked here before he worked there. All right, next we see Hans on the docks, Jamie, with Elizabeth at the bus stop. They're kind of at separate points staking out this meeting with William. And he signals her with a mirror as the car drives up. Philip and William exchange a dead rat. So here's our rat.
Right.
Name of the title.
Except, yeah, a Clark too, though. I mean, what do you call it? Philip too. He was acting like a rat.
William asks, what did you do with your agent? And Philip says, I'm bringing her in. And here's where William says something about his wife, Eliza. My wife was sent back. I stayed quiet.
Right. That's right.
I didn't.
He said I wanted to do something about it.
I didn't think I could take them on, but I wanted to, but I didn't.
So I don't know what that means. I mean, I don't know if it was an American woman who was exfiltrated or if his wife was a spy and Russian spy and she got sent back because her assignment was over. I don't know what it was.
I think he's admiring Philip for standing up to Gabriel.
He's saying,
when my wife was sent back, I stayed quiet. You're not staying quiet. You're doing what you think is right. I think he admires Philip for standing up to Gabriel.
Well, I don't think so. I don't think that's what he meant. I think that he was talking about the center, that he didn't have the nerve to take on the KGB.
Well, that's what Gabriel is, the center.
No, he's not. He's not. He's a much, like, kinder, gentler, human version of, you know, representative of the KGB. But I think what William was talking about was the government.
Okay, Jamie. Like, well, Philip's standing up for what he thinks is right, and William didn't. That's the point. Doesn't matter if it was Gabriel or Igor or whoever. Philip's standing up to do something he thinks is right, and William laments that he didn't, and his wife got sent back. That's my point.
Okay.
Back at Gabriel's, Martha wakes up and asks, where's Clark? And Gabriel says something came up, he'll be back soon, and she just glares at him like, okay, another lie. At Gad's office with Stan, Gad's still shocked. He says, I felt bad about kicking Martha off the desk. And Stan's trying to make Gad feel a little better and says, hey, maybe I got it wrong. Maybe she's just taking a sick day and enjoying it. Maybe it's as simple as that.
Yeah, that's, you know, get him a reasoning as anything.
Gad realizes, though, the reality of it, that, hey, look, nobody could have put that pen there more easily than Martha, and she had access to everything, so it probably was Martha. Next, Martha discovers her gun is missing and storms out of Gabriel's. And out in the street, she says, where's Clark and what's happening to me, or if she's about to be out in the street. And she says, I can't trust you. I don't know you. If you come any closer to me, I'll scream and everybody will know you're KGB.
That's right.
So she reveals to Gabriel that Clark told her that he's KGB.
Yeah, the look on Gabriel's face was, holy crap.
And that's how it ended, Jamie.
Yep.
Did you watch any of the Nextons?
No.
It's a really short, you know, it's like 30 seconds. Everyone's looking for Martha. Both sides, both Philip and Stan and everybody. And we see her on a payphone crying and saying, I want it to stop. I don't know to who or to what, but that's the preview.
Well, yeah, I bet she does want it.
So the next episode is Travel Agents. You know what people use travel agents for, Jamie? Travel. I think Martha might be traveling somewhere.
Yeah, she might be traveling somewhere really far away and very cold.
On one of those steamers, like, who was sent on the boat?
Timoshev, eventually.
No, not Timoshev.
The other dude, I don't remember his name.
Anton Baklanov.
Oh, you're talking about him, okay.
So what do you think is going to happen, Jamie?
I think Martha's dead.
Dead or shipped off to Moscow?
No, I think Martha's dead.
Well, let's try to figure out why would they call it travel agents. Does that mean they're going to Epcot, or is Martha going to Moscow?
Well, okay. Henry was talking about Epcot like bad, like hard. He was trying to make that deal. So, I don't know.
It's funny how little time is passing too. Because remember, this is only within the same week. Because they were going to go to they failed to go to Epcot the one weekend, and they were going to go the next weekend. So this is all happening in that week in between.
Yes, it's really weird. So Elizabeth asked Philip in the kitchen how long ago he had revealed himself to Martha, and he said 3 weeks ago. So from, you know, last season until now, in their world, has been 3 weeks.
Yeah. And a lot of these episodes have just gone from one right into the next one. Literally, like, the next day.
Yeah. Or even not even the next day, because the thing with Philip and Elizabeth seemed like, you know, right after.
Same night. Yeah, same evening. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's it. 407 is Travel Agents. I'll see that next week. And this is a series of 13, Jamie. We've done a few with 10. We just finished Saul that had 10.
Right.
And more and more series are running 10 episodes, but this is 13.
Yeah, which is really, really cool because it gives us so much more to look at. I really wish that Better Call Saul had more episodes because, you know, Breaking Bad, their first season only had 7 episodes. And then after that, like, I think each season had like episodes, and that was really great. But they only want to give us 10. So what can you do?
Yep. So my Twitter handle is @scathingtweets. What's yours?
@wordgirly.
All right, Jamie. So until Travel Agents, that's it for 406 The Rat.
That's right.
All right. Well, I'll see you next week.
All right. Bye, Mike.
All right. Get some rest.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye. Come up on different streets. They both were streets of shame. Both dirty, both mean. Yes, and the dream was just the same. And I dreamed your dream for you, and now your dream is real. How can you look at me as if I was just another one of your deals? When you can fall for chains of silver, you can fall for chains of gold. You can fall for pretty strangers and the promises they hold. You promised me everything. You promised me thick and thin, yeah. Now you just say, oh, Romeo, yeah. You know, I used to have a scene with him. Juliet, when we made love, you used to cry. Said, I love you like the stars above. I love you till I die. There's a place for us. You know, in a movie song. When you're gonna realize it was just that the time was wrong. Juliet. I can't do the talks like the talk on the TV. And I can't do a love song like the way it's meant to be. I can't do everything, but I'll do anything for you. I can't do anything except be in love with you. And all I do is miss you and the way we used to be. All I do is keep the beat, the bad company. And all I do is kiss you through the bars of a rhyme. Julia, I'll do the stars with you anytime. Oh, Julia, when we made love, you used to cry. I said, I love you like the stars above. I love you till I die. There's a place for all of you. You know, the moon is song. When you gonna realize it was just because the time was wrong. Romeo, sing the streets a serenade.
laying everybody low with a love song that he made. Find a convenient street light, steps out of the shade and says something like,